This is Dr. D. Yvonne Young. Today, I have a very special guest, Jesse McMahon, the founder and CEO of M7 Services. Now, you may not have heard of M7, but after today's show, you will never forget M7 nor Jesse McMahon. This guy started a tech company operating out of his trunk. His first year did maybe around 50K, but a few years later, this is a $20 million brand. If it could happen to Jesse, it can happen to you too. Today's show is really fascinating in the sense that not only do I get to interview a friend, but he's also a client of mine. Jesse McMahon, CEO and founder of M7 Services. I'm curious, what made you start M7?
In my 30s, I had two little girls, a brand new baby girl. Just found myself working hard, wanting to do more for my family, wanting to provide and give more to my family than the way that I had been raised. Knew that I was going to have to do more than just a typical, you know, Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 kind of job. And was just found myself doing a lot of moonlighting and extra work on the side. It's an opportunity that came knocking, that a door opened for me, and thankfully I was able to.
Tell me about that. What was the opportunity or what door opened?
A friend of mine, former colleague, was working at a hotel in downtown Houston, and they were struggling from a technology perspective. Asked if I would be interested in coming over and helping them out. Didn't know much about hotels. My background is all oil and gas. So, hey, are you interested in helping us on a more ongoing basis? Which, of course, I was. And we were a one-income family. So I knew that if there was anything that we were going to do, whether it be vacations or anything extra, it was just going to require me to have to go out and find a way to provide that. But there was just something inside of me that was, there's more.
So you start this business, you got this family, you realize that, man, first it's one kid, two kids, now you got three beautiful little girls. You're well aware that I cannot live the lifestyle I want comfortably working for somebody else. Right. This opportunity comes up with this hotel. You realize that, okay, if I capitalize on this, it might lead to something. We've got this first meeting. Right. So tell me what happened.
So, all right, I got to take you back for just a second. This was, as you said, this was my first contract, first hotel I'd ever supported. And let's be clear, I had no idea what I was doing. This was the first contract I had ever had. I had never done anything like that in my life. Didn't know up from down. So we were having this call to transition all the, you know, security accounts, passwords, administrator accounts from the company that had been, you know, providing their support to me. I'd never done anything like this. I was super nervous. So they set up a conference bridge that me, the other company, and the hotel were all getting on this conference bridge to start.
So meaning like a conference call.
Yeah, a conference call.
Yeah.
And so I was nervous. And I got on the conference bridge like 15 or 20 minutes early. I mean, nobody does that. Nobody shows up 15 to 20 minutes early for a call. I did because I was scared to death. So I'm sitting there, got my phone on mute. I'm just ready to go. I'm surrounded by papers, questions that I need to ask, all of these things. And this other company, their team members joined the conference call. Nobody knew that I was on the call. And they began to talk amongst themselves. I'm just sitting there on mute listening. People are like, now, who is this company that's taken over? And I don't know, some guy named Jesse McMahon, whatever. Who is that? I don't know. And they're like, man, this is going to be so screwed up. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to keep our admin accounts in place on their servers and stuff so that when they call us in a few weeks or a couple of weeks that everything's screwed up, we'll be able to get back in there and take care of it. And I tell you, Dr. Young, that moment, sitting there listening to them, no, they were sure of themselves that I was going to fail. There was something that was set off, you know, something was triggered inside of me that was like, you know, I'll show you. M7 as it is today did not exist in my mind at that time. I never dreamed that it would be what it was today. But I attribute a large amount of M7 success to that experience I had. Nobody thought I was going to make it. Nobody thought I'd be able to accomplish anything. Heck, I didn't even know if I would be able to accomplish anything. But I guarantee I was going to do my dead level best to prove those guys on that call wrong.
You know, one of the things that I love about this story, Jesse, even in my story, I worked my butt off. I was meeting people at Starbucks. I didn't have an office. I was coming to people's homes, and they were thinking I'm providing this really great service, when the truth is, no, I don't have nowhere else to meet you but your house at Starbucks, right?
Right.
But there's another part to this story. When someone doubts you, when someone criticizes you, whether it's your family, your frenemies, or even yourself, when you're telling yourself you're going to fail, that should not be something to get depressed about. As you can hear, what Jesse did, he used that for momentum. He used it for fuel. Because right now, that fuel has a fire lit, and he's about to barbecue a situation. But I'm going to shut up and go back to Jesse and let him finish telling you that story. So, Jesse, every story has a part B to it. Part one, you're listening to these guys on the call. Mm-hmm. They're talking about you. And they don't even know you're listening, and they're basically saying, who is this clown? Yeah, sure, let him try it. He's going to probably fail. Yeah. How are you feeling?
If I can be honest.
Be honest. Be totally blunt. Look into the camera and tell me, how are you feeling, man?
Honestly, I'm sitting there in that office chair on that call thinking, they're probably right. Because I've been listening to crap like that my whole life. Oh, you can't do it. You're not enough. And I was sitting there thinking they might be right. But thankfully, greater than that is the ability to say, I am not going to let someone else tell me that I'm going to fail before I can even get started. And it was. You mentioned it being fuel. I can tell you that was probably the greatest. I attribute a lot of M7 success today from me being an eavesdropper on that conference call before it got kicked off. Beauty of it is, all these years later, those guys that were on that conference call, me and my business partner just recently met with them in talks of acquiring their organization.
Wow. I want to talk about pain.
Mm-hmm.
Success comes with mistakes. It comes with shame. It comes with anxiety and depression, self-sabotaging from your thoughts. What's the pain of being the CEO of a $20 million a year company? Because it's not all glamour. So what's going on behind the scenes with Jesse McMahon?
Began to think back over, the course of this entire journey, thinking about today. Obviously, things are a lot different than they were back in those days. Today, we're not sitting around wondering how we're going to pay the rent. In the early days, that was absolutely the case. You worried about payroll, every payroll. You worried about every dime that was spent, and do we really need that? And not saying that we don't do that today, but just at a different level. There's a lot of sacrifice that goes into it. You talk about pain, anxiety. I mean, the process can be brutal.
What about when you get home? How does it affect your personal life in terms of stress and coping? What kind of SH, the rest of it, that you have, that nobody sees?
One of the challenges is that you're trying to grow a business, you're making decisions and you're making choices and, you're making judgment calls that are at a pretty high level, that are very impactful, not just for yourself, but for every single one around you, every single employee, my family. This is going on all day, every day.
Give me the family part. So one pain point is isolation.
Absolutely.
That you don't have anybody to talk to because you come home, daddy, a husband, and these people are pulling at you The problem is they're pulling at you and you're not present.
Right.
Because all this stuff has got you overwhelmed.
Yeah.
At that point, how does that affect your marriage and how does that affect your relationship with kids?
It's very taxing. I mean, not just on yourself, it's taxing on your marriage. It's taxing on your relationship with your kids.
What do you mean by taxing?
Well, you begin to realize that you're not there enough. You said it, when you're there, maybe you're not present. Your mind's occupied thinking, you know, man, was that the right decision? Am I making the right decision? Am I making the right choice? And you may be home, you may be inside the house, you may be sitting at the dinner table, but your mind's a million miles away. So there's that aspect of it, not being present when you're actually home. And gosh, there was one particular year I flew 252,000 miles on United Airlines and never took an international flight. They were all domestic miles. I was never home. You know, my wife had text me in the middle of the night, you know, say, I woke up and rolled over, reached over for you. You weren't there. Where are you at? You know, like, oh, remember, I flew out this morning or last night to go here or there. It's taxing. It's taxing on you mentally, physically, emotionally, your relationships. I'm not saying every business is just like this because someone else is going to have a different story, but that was mine.
What you're saying is, in essence, is there's a price to pay.
Oh, for sure.
And how bad did it get?
Oh, I mean, you know, I mentioned that my wife and I have been married right at 32 years. But I can tell you that there was a time over the last 12, 14 years that we almost didn't make it. I mean,
wow.
Just simply because, you know, it's hard to have a thriving relationship, you know, emotionally and physically, you know, when you're not there. You're focused on different areas. You know, I was focused on building this business. I was focused on being successful, focused on, you know, accomplishing, you know, all the while, you know, I still got a wife. I still have now 4 kids, you know, that I've got to, you know, worry about. And so it's not easy. You know, I know that there were things that I missed for my kids during that time. You know, special events and, you know, not getting to say goodnight, you know, I mean, as small as that may sound, but it's important not getting to sit around the dinner table, you know, every night, or even most nights, if you would. A lot of times I was leaving before my kids woke up for school in the morning and getting home long after they had been to bed. So,
and the worst part, they get used to it.
Right. Yeah. Maybe they're not happy about it. You're there more, but they do. They learn. Yeah. They learn to cope, and they learn. And the price, even though it's a price that you're paying, it costs your family as well.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Your kids, they start getting to a point where they get almost used to you not being there. Your wife is waking up going, damn, where are you? Everything is pressure, 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 pressure. What did that end up leading to?
Working in the hospitality industry, every one of my clients being a hotel, resort, casino. I mean, it's that much travel and staying in hotels that much is not as glamorous as it may sound on the surface.
Yeah.
I can assure you that. I'm a homebody. I mean, I love to be at home. And I mean, just being gone that much, it got to a point where we could talk about the high blood pressure, the anxiety, just the chaos that was going on from a mental and emotional state that, you know, it took me getting hospitalized with just an astronomical blood pressure reading where I was about to have a stroke. And before you put the brakes on and say, I got to start doing some things different.
What about coping strategies? Most people end up doing some self-sabotaging stuff just to cope. Yeah. What did you do?
Honestly, I started drinking, never drank in you know, in my life. I mean, being a crazy teenager here, there, you know, something like that. But I found that it was, I could have a drink and I could begin to let some of the stuff kind of melt away a little bit. And the way your body and your mind works is like, oh, I want some more of that, yeah. You know? And I found myself drinking in excess. And
yeah, I did that with weed.
You know, amazing family and people around me that is like, you got to get a hold of yourself. Yeah. And it's not been easy. I've done some things I'm not proud of, for sure.
As we all have.
Yeah. But it's kind of like, it's your mind and your body is, you know, telling you you need an escape. Yeah. You need something to help you. Yeah. But really, you know.
Let me ask you this. I know that you reached out to me in the middle of some of that.
Right.
How did coaching affect?
Oh. Well, I'll tell you this. You know, you hear the old saying, you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, as we mature, get older as men, I always think, well, I can handle this. I can handle that. Yeah, and when I reached out to you, my wife and I had been talking about finding someone that we could talk to. I mentioned earlier about communication, and we were just, you know, we want to have a successful, happy marriage. And so we were talking about finding someone that we could relate to, someone that could help us, someone that could, you know, coach us along the way to find that place that we wanted to be. And so when my wife and I first met you, I was already in a very, very unhealthy place. From my blood pressure was through the roof. My kids joke around about the veins in my forehead. They're just like always, you know, mm-hmm. popping out. And because I was always on edge, always stressed out, always, you know, as the sole owner of a business, it doesn't matter what happens in the business. It's ultimately your responsibility. If a bad decision is made by someone, nobody looks at that. They look at you. And so I took all that stuff very seriously. And when I met you, being able to have someone that I could talk to, someone that I could share some of these types of things of where I was at, you know, man, just being able to get some of that stuff off my chest was therapy in and of itself. Was medicinal. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was truly medicinal. Yeah. Having someone to talk to that understands business, that understands entrepreneurship, that understands investment and sacrifice and all those things is crucial. So you're asking, you know, how do I deal with it? Well, the honest answer is I didn't do it very well. Mm-hmm. I didn't balance, you know, people taking advantage of you, you know, that sort of thing very well at all, because I was worried. You're worried about clients, you're worried about employees, you're worried about family, and so I just gave. And gave, whether it was resources or second chances, third chances, fourth chances. I just continued to do that. I would encourage people that find themselves, you know, in a business and as a leader to reel that in for themselves, because it doesn't end well. You're not doing them any favors. You're not doing yourself any favors. When people are taking advantage of you, your kindness, your generosity, you've got to step in and put a stop to it. Yeah, I mean, being able to have somebody to talk to, I mean, was very medicinal. I mean, you being able to get some of that off your chest and being able to talk to somebody that could relate and understand all of those aspects of business, that could help you walk through it. Because at the end of the day, I don't care if your business does $100,000 a year or $100 million a year. Business owners all face pretty much the same problems. Finding the right people, you know, having customers and clients that are good partners, all of those things. It's the same exact problems, maybe much larger scales and more of them, but it's the same kind.
Well, that fall from a mountain hurts a hell of a lot more than a fall from a hill, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, one thing that I've learned coaching ultra high net worth and high net worth individuals is they actually, in many ways, are more vulnerable to things than the average bear, because people tend to exploit them. People tell you what you want to hear because they don't want to cut off that $50 or $100. And even when they see you putting yourself in harm's way, if that wake-up call could end up meaning that you cut them off or that they no longer have access to your resources, they're not going to tell you, and you could be 1 foot out the damn grave and they're not going to tell you. What did you do to prevent you from being in that position?
I would love to be able to give you a very diplomatic answer.
No, give us a raw one.
The problem is...
this is on Roku and Apple TV. Get raw with it. So,
you know, if there's one thing that I get accused of the most, it's, mm-hmm. You're too nice.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You're just being a nice guy. So having people that take advantage of that, at least in my experience, I've had a lot of that.
Man, 30 minutes goes by way too quick when you're getting to this meaty stuff, right? The first question is, if someone were going to follow in your footsteps, try to do a business similar to yours, what would you tell them that would help them to not make the mistakes and fall in some of the pits that you did? What would that advice be?
Put your personal feelings aside. Business is business. You're going to have to make decisions that aren't going to be popular with people around you because a myriad of reasons. It might be because it affects them. It might be because they would rather you do something different. At the end of the day, you've got to be ready and willing to be able to make the best decision at the time for what your business needs. You got to be sure where you're going. You got to know what you want. You got to have a plan, a vision, and a purpose. And you got to be willing to do what it takes to get there and accomplish it.
So, Jesse, here's what I heard you say. What I heard you say basically is you need to get something like a feasibility study almost to know what you're going to do, why you're going to do it, and how you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. Then I heard you say, don't let your ego and other people's feelings influence your decisions. The last thing that I heard you say equates to you're going to have to be committed and work hard to get this done.
Oh, yeah.
Does that sound about right?
Oh, yeah.
Last thing. I know you said, well, damn, Doc, I thought that was the last thing. No matter what business somebody's in, mm-hmm. for them to succeed and be where you are, to get to where you said, man, I was doing this out the trunk of my car, an 800 number that you could call and ask for tech support, that's me. You ask for sales, that's me. You ask for a consultation, me again, right? But that went from a $50,000 your business to a few years later, now it's $20 million. What are the three things that you would tell somebody that is watching this or listening to this, if they're listening on iHeart or wherever, Spotify, that you must do if you're to be successful?
Three things. The first one is easy. The first one is you got to establish a work ethic.
What does that mean?
I mean, you got to be willing to get up and go when you don't feel like getting up and going. You got to be willing to get up and go when nobody else is getting up and going. I remember one of the greatest fears that kept me up every night when I was starting this business is, what if I'm lazy? That was a fear that was in my mind, is what if I just end up working for myself and sleeping late and, you know, knocking off early all the time? Well, that didn't happen, I can assure you that. But it was a fear that I had. And I attribute my work ethic to my precious mother, and who drilled that into me. If you don't have a work ethic and you're not willing to get up and go when it's very easy to stay home, to not go, to not make those calls, not send those emails, you're not going to be successful.
Okay, what's the second thing?
The second one, You know, I'm in the service industry. We provide professional services. The thing that I would say that's probably more unique to my business than anyone else is you got to care about other people. And it's not just clients, but it's the people that you hire, the people that work for you. You got to care about other people. I remember long before I started the company, I remember telling someone, I don't know if you remember the way Walmart used to operate. When I was a kid growing up, you could just like pick up a random item if you had at home, and you could, no box, no receipt. It could be 100 years old.
Yeah,
you could take it back to Walmart and get a refund.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I always felt that, well, that's why Walmart was so successful, is because they catered to customer service. And so I always said that if I started a business, before I even decided what kind of business I was going to start, I was going to know what kind of customer service that I was going to provide. You've got to care about not only your customers, you got to care about the people that you hire and the people that work for you. When you're loyal to people, people are loyal in return.
And the third one?
The third one, very similar to number two, you got to surround yourself with amazing people. You don't know what you don't know. You got to have people around you that can help you, that can support you. I'm proud to say I've surrounded myself with a lot of people that are way smarter than I am. I want people in there that are able to help guide and make choices and decisions that I hadn't thought about, and from perspectives and angles that I hadn't thought about.
Yeah. This is the CEO of M7 Services, Jesse McMahon. Hey, man, I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
It's a wonderful thing when I get to talk to someone who started out as a client, still is my client, but is also my friend, in many ways like a brother to me. So I want you guys to take this advice. Whatever field you're in, it's all about the people. Because what he said in summary was, it's all about the people and how you treat people and who you surround yourself with. Go do some wonderful, tremendous things. Anyway, this is Dr. D. Yvonne Young. And you've been listening to Conversations with Dr. D. Yvonne Young. I love you madly. Most sincerely, I do. Have a great day.